Welcome to Venturi's Voice. I'm Andy Davis. Venturi's Voice brings together thought leaders from a variety of industries who are taking the most innovative approaches to leadership and staffing. Imagine having a mix of experienced mentors sharing their secrets on leadership, recruiting, onboarding, engagement, and motivating, as well as stories on life lessons they've learned along the way. And it's free. If you're the head of a major corporation leading a team of hundreds or about to take on your first leadership role, this podcast is for you. The show is about you, and we're here to help you become the best leader you can be. Stay up to date with the latest shows by subscribing on iTunes and SoundCloud, as well as signing up to the newsletter at venturi-group.com, where you can find the latest IT jobs, talent, and blogs on all things leadership, staffing, and development. I'd love to hear from you, so drop me a line anytime via email at andy.davis@venturi-group.com. Any feedback or requests are always welcome. Enjoy the show. Today's guest is Simon Halkyard, Talent Acquisition Partner at ShopDirect. From a recruitment perspective, you used to be in agencies, right?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, so obviously making the transition to internal, what are some of the things that I suppose initially motivated you to do that? But beyond that as well, I've been interested to hear any kind of surprising differences that I suppose you weren't expecting when you went into the internal side.
Yeah, I suppose my perception of internal was like a lot of recruiters. I thought it would be easier than it has been. It's very different than what I expected it to be. I think the knowledge that I gained from years in the agency side in some ways helped me. The pace of it helped me to go internal. But the breadth of things you get involved in an internal role compared to an agency side role is very, very different. And the amount of stakeholder contact you have is very different. So it didn't particularly prepare me for it, but I feel I'm quite a resilient character and I kind of took to it, and it was something that I really wanted to do as well. I felt that the industry was changing a lot as an agency. And I'd done it for a long time, and I'd run my own business for 7 years. And I just got to the point where I wasn't particularly learning much. And, you know, I was feeling a bit staid. And one of the reasons why I actually got in there into an in-house was genuinely to learn and to improve and, you know, to keep myself interested in the industry that I was working in.
It's funny that you say that, you know, that you kind of felt you weren't learning, and that was a big motivator as to why you should do something different. I think that's really an important thing, whether that's something as kind of big as a career move or not, that understanding that, okay, I'm not actually learning anything now. I think it needs to always be at the forefront of our consciousness when we're making decisions.
Absolutely. And, you know, I was running a small business, so, you know, there's only 7 or 8 of us, and, you know, there's only a certain amount of knowledge you're going to pick up from each other. And when you're the smartest person in the room, in a small room, you're not growing. And to go to somewhere like ShopDirect, where, quite frankly, there's a lot of people brighter than me, and I picked up a lot from those people quickly, and also realized that, you know, there was a lot more to offer in talent acquisition than what I've been just doing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. So the relationships, obviously, that you build with from internally with the technical people, and you know, you focus on analytics and such, right?
So correct, yeah.
So the relationships you build, obviously, with the internal hiring managers the internal managers, you know, it's obviously clearly a stronger and a slightly different dynamic than it would have been when you were working in agencies. You know, how much has that kind of, you know, been different for you and challenging?
Well, you have to earn the relationships. I think, you know, when you're in agency side, you see new business as a big part of your job. And you don't really probably think that in-house is new business. But I always found that, you know, getting my stakeholders to trust me, and believe in the credibility that I could bring to them was my new business. They were my new business contacts that I had to prove myself to, because a lot of them did prefer to use agencies because we hadn't delivered for whatever reason. So, you know, you had to earn it with each one of them. So it didn't just come wrapped and ready for you when you join an in-house business. You've got to earn it with those stakeholders, and you've got to prove your credibility quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. It's almost quite a lot of pressure because they kind of get to, you know, they get to like see you directly, interact with you. And there's that whole kind of, you know, you're actually having to buy into your personality as much as anything. I'm sure you're a lovely guy, Simon.
I think it is. And I think you've got to have a passion for what they do, and they can smell it if you haven't. You know, it's got to be authentic, and you've got to really enjoy what you do. And I think that if you can show them that you genuinely have an interest in what they do, and it's fascinating some of the stuff that they do and that we get involved in, if you can prove that, then, you know, that goes a long way to helping you build credibility with them and actually just build a relationship as friends as well.
Yeah. And do you think that for you, and, you know, I don't think this is the right or wrong answer, but you have to make it that conscious effort to go kind of above and beyond and prove that you're interested in a subject matter? Or do you think that you just have to kind of be interested in it? You know, is the product or the project, you know, is that what kind of gravitates you towards wanting to do something anyway? Or is there always going to be that extra effort that's needed anyway just to kind of prove that?
I think you've just got to be a curious person to start with. And I think, you know, some people in recruitment go into it to earn money, no issue with that at all. Other people go in to learn about new industries. And it's, if you've got that curious mindset and that curious gene, as one of my colleagues calls it, then I think you know, you are interested in finding out new things. You are interested in these technologies and what they do. I mean, as a business, we're a tech business now, and we used to be a catalog business, and how we've changed and developed, you know, is a fascinating to me. It's a fascinating story, and it's a success story that, you know, I'm proud to be a part of.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's really interesting. You know, transformation is, you know, I think it's just super compelling. Anyway, anyone who says, you know, I don't know how you couldn't be interested, you know, and a lot of the people I talk to, you know, on the podcast are going through a variety of different transformations and, you know, technology and navigating it at the moment is, you know, it's difficult, you know, it's very, very difficult. So, you know, from a recruiter and trying to align, you know, the kind of changing landscape that's happening in technology constantly, adds an element of a challenge. But what that means is that you have to understand and be kind of almost a subject matter expert yourself to be able to kind of give, you know, your expertise to the people you're helping recruit for.
We do. And I think, you know, when you're recruiting, one of the big things for me is not the technical skills. You know, finding the technical skills is much easier than the softer key attributes that you're looking for. You know, can people be resilient? Can people deal with ambiguity? You know, that's what interests me in recruitment. And that's what, you know, we're educating our stakeholders that it's not just a case of, hey, you want someone with a PhD. Well, that person with a PhD, can they work at the pace that we've got? And it's trying to educate them and help them understand that sometimes the person with the best skills isn't going to be the best candidate.
Yeah. Yeah. And how difficult are some of those battles, as we all know?
Well, they're hard because recruitment is one of those industries where everyone's got an opinion and everyone thinks to a certain extent that they know what it is and how to do it. You know, I wouldn't question a doctor on how to be a doctor. I'm not saying that we're doctors, but, you know, recruitment is complex and it is difficult, but everyone has an opinion on it. So it is difficult. And those conversations, you know, they've got to be a two-way street. And it is about educating stakeholders, because a lot of them, you know, don't understand the nuances of recruitment and everything that goes with it.
So how much, as you kind of were referring to now, and specifically within technology, is the kind of the softer skills important now? I'm not sure how long you've been in recruitment, but, you know, maybe when you started, it was kind of all about the skills. You know, it was kind of a nuanced skill set. And now, like, as you're saying, it's kind of almost done a 360 in a sense, in that it's still about the skills. Of course, you have to be able to kind of do the technical work, but beyond that, you have to have the right personality fit, and you have to be aware of things like business needs and business outcomes. Because, as you said now, you know, Shop Direct is the perfect example of something that, you know, it used to not be a tech business and now it is a tech business. So they went from kind of not being the product to being the actual product. And I think that's had a huge impact on, you know, the recruitment side, and I think it's made it ever more complex.
I think that is important. I mean, from my perspective, certainly in a business like ours, the capabilities versus skills is really, really important. When the first day that I joined Shop Direct, I was given 38 roles to recruit. I was given an hour handover with the person that was doing my job previously. And I was working in a sector that I'd never done before, never worked in before. So, you know, my technical skills at that point were irrelevant. It was more about, are you resilient enough to be able to cope with that kind of pressure and that kind of pace and that kind of demanding atmosphere? So, you know, in our business, it is very much fast-paced business that you've got to be able to cope with. You've got to be able to cope with the ambiguity, the pace, the expectations. So it's not just about the skills. The skills, obviously, you need to be talented, but, you know, hard work and having a work ethic and being able to do all those other softer skills is much more important.
you know, so the onboarding process now, you know, you're supposed to be able to identify who's going to be, you know, a long-standing successor at a business based on, you know, a few interviews, right? It's very difficult to have, you know, kind of a perfect proven method. There's clearly ways to improve that. You know, has working internally, you know, given you kind of the better understanding about that kind of side of things as well, you know, and kind of built a stronger case or a stronger way of interviewing? Is there, you know, better ways to do it to identify potential people and, you know, have just a, you know, a marginal increase in potential for success for people? Because it is difficult. Three interviews. I mean, you know, how do we know, you know?
Yeah, no, everybody's taking a leap of faith, the business, the candidates. It does help because, you know, I truly now understand our business. I know the history of it. I know what it takes to be successful within it. Whereas if I was working agency side and I had 30 clients, it would be impossible for me to have that kind of insight. But equally, you know, I was reading a stat the other day, which was saying that, you know, no matter what assessment you do, no matter how perfect it is, you've still only got like a 60-65% chance of hiring the right person, because people are different. And that's our product. Our product is people, and you can't have exact perfect scores in terms of retention and attraction of candidates when you're dealing with people. I think one of the other things for me as well is, I think businesses as a whole, you know, they really spend a lot of money on engagement and attraction. But assessment itself, the actual assessment part of the process, what do you do when you've got someone in the room? I think there's a lot more that companies can do on that area, and really helping technology now is coming in where it can really help you make decisions.
Have you got some examples of that?
We're working on it at the moment, actually. We're working on assessment and trying to improve it because, you know, like every business, we're seeing that bias can be a negative for businesses, and training our stakeholders as well. I think one of the things that a lot of businesses do is, seen as someone's a manager, that almost gives them the badge of, right, you can go and interview people. Well, not necessarily. You know, they're not trained in being able to interview. So one of the things that we're doing now is a lot of training for our new managers to make sure that they're comfortable and happy and feel that they've got, you know, the skill set and the knowledge to actually interview people properly, rather than just throwing them in a room because they're a manager and they should be able to do it. And I think that happens within a lot of businesses.
Yeah, well, it's true. And that's kind of steps of management is a similar story as well, actually.
It's hard, isn't it? If you're a manager, you're a new manager, and someone says, right, one of the first things you've got to do is hire somebody, you're probably not going to put your hand up and say, do you know what, I'm not comfortable with that, I've never done that before. You're not going to show confidence that way. So I think it's for us as talent acquisition to go up to these people and say, look, you know, it is not a natural situation to either be an interviewer or be a candidate in those situations. Let's help you. You know, we've sat in hundreds of them. We're not perfect ourselves, but we can give you some pointers. We can help. We can do some training. And, you know, that can have a huge impact on the bottom line of who you hire.
On the other side of things as well, it's the retention, I'm sure, is kind of a part of the role which, you know, when you're in agency, you just don't have to deal with necessarily. Is that something
exactly.
that you've kind of taken on and enjoyed?
Yeah, I mean, it's something I'm very much aware of. I mean, if you're getting, I mean, we're moving now into what they call the gig economy, where people are not staying in roles as long as they used to do. And quite frankly, if you're not getting people staying longer than 18 months, they're not going to be valuable from an output perspective. You do need people to stay within your business for a number of years to really get that value from them and for them to get the value from you as well. But yeah, retention is so important, especially in the tech market, where these candidates are bombarded with messages from other companies, from recruiters, in-house and agency, about roles and more money that they can get. So you've got to offer a lot.
Yeah, yeah. And what are some of the things that you're finding that seem to be working quite successfully with some of the incentives that you're throwing out there? So what are some of the things that, you know, you've noticed that makes a big difference, you know, even kind of just small things?
Well, we've now got an employer brand manager, which is moving into a lot of businesses where, you know, the EVP of a business, the brand of a business, the culture of a business is right at the forefront of what they're doing. Because, you know, when they're bringing candidates into a business, they want those candidates to belong and to feel like they're in the right place. Because if it's just about money, you know, you're not going to win. There's only one company or two companies that are going to be able to win that war. So it is very much about offering different things. And it depends what's important to you. You know, we're a business that changes very quickly. So we've recently put a gym in our business where, you know, people can go to the gym at 2 o'clock in the afternoon if they want to. That wasn't available a year ago. But you know what? If you've got a family, and you need to be home at 5 and you want to spend your, you know, an hour at 2 o'clock going to the gym, that makes a big difference to you and to your lifestyle. So I heard of one company recently that put a creche in their business, which I think is a huge thing. Again, if you've got a family, it's a huge thing to be able to do. You know, and that transcends money. It's more important to those people.
Well, there's no question. There's no question. I mean, you know, people value time. I think time is a huge commodity, isn't it? And people, you know, I'm kind of guilty of that as well. I was just telling you before the show that, you know, I moved house recently, and a big part of that was to be, you know, much, much closer to the office. And that time that I've bought back is, you know, means so much more, to the point where now, you know, for instance, if someone came to me and was like, I'll give you X amount of money more, you know, to go back to the commute, like, I wouldn't even entertain it. You know, I wouldn't entertain it. So,
And I think businesses are getting savvy about the fact that it's not about presenteeism. It's not about someone sitting in an office for 12 hours. It's about output. It's about what, you know, what do you actually deliver to a business? And that's why I think you're getting more flexible working options coming into businesses, people working from home. I'm working from home today. You know, again, within Shop Direct, that wouldn't have been available to me just a couple of years ago. So, you know, you've got to listen to what your employees want and what they need. And flexible working, I think, is absolutely at the top for a lot of people.
Well, especially for, like you say, young professionals may have children. Like, it's frighteningly expensive now, you know.
Even old professionals that have got children like me. No matter what, you know, everybody, we all need something. But I think what you've got to recognise as well as a business, it can't just be if you've got kids. It can't just be things like that. You know, for some people, it is going to the gym, is walking their dog. Whatever's important to you should be valued, because that's, you know, I think to say, well, do you know what, I want to work from home today because I need to pick up the kids and take them to the doctors. Well, a lot of people will see that as a valuable reason. But for other people that want to do something, like I said, that go to the gym, that's just as important to them. And I think businesses have got to recognize that. And as long as the output's there, you know, flexibility works.
I like that a lot. I think it's a really, really important point as well, isn't it? How can you be selective about what is okay to work from and what isn't? Like, that's just, like, it's a really important point. I'm glad you made that. It's something that in recruitment, I think, is, you know, I think for the industry as a whole, you know, this kind of working hours in the office, and a lot of industries that are quite similar, they are stuck in the dark ages in some ways, you know, with that regard. And you are seeing movement slowly but surely. But, you know, you've seen something change at Shop Direct where you've seen them kind of think a little bit differently. What do you think it takes to actually have that initial change? What is required from that?
I think your leaders have to be bought into it. So, for example, our business recognised that we're a really strong digital brand, but we weren't as strong internally as we were externally to the market. So we've made a lot of changes so that our people feel that they're working for a tech business. And as I said, like, things like flexibility are coming in, various other initiatives to make us a digital business inside and out. So I think one of the good things about Shop Direct is not afraid to say what is getting wrong. And he's not afraid to voice it to everybody in the business as well. So we have things like a balcony brief every month where our chief executive or one of our leaders talks to us about something within the business, something that's going right, something that's going wrong. But the refreshing part is it's not just like a puff promotional piece. You honestly find out what's going on within the business and what's right or what's wrong, and we voice it.
Yeah, that's so important, isn't it?
Well, that's your culture, isn't it? I mean, if all you hear is promotional, we're amazing, look how well we're doing, you're not going to buy into that. It's not authentic. So you need your leaders to be upfront and honest with you and transparent about what's going on in your business, because once you have that, you feel part of it.
Do you think that it's more difficult for smaller or SMEs to be that way, because, you know, the leaders may feel that a little bit more kind of personally about it? You know, have you experienced that?
That's a really good point, that they may, you know, the smaller the business, they may put it on their own shoulders. I think it all depends on the individual. I think it's harder the bigger business you get. I think I look at some businesses, for example, O2 is a great business example of a business that's got their culture right, but they're huge. But I could name you some banks that haven't. You know, the more, if you've got 40,000-50,000 staff, it's very hard to do that. Whereas we're at the right size, I think, to be able to have these conversations. There's about 3,000 or 4,000 people that work across the board at Shop Direct, so we're a good size business, but equally feel still like a small business in many ways. You know people, you don't feel like you're detached from the business because it's so huge.
I think bringing it down to basics, I think you're absolutely right, Simon. I think the transparency and the honesty and the openness about failures, you know, and not hiding behind that exec kind of wall, if you like,
yeah,
is so important.
And that translates to recruitment as well for me. I think, you know, companies are having to be braver now in how they promote themselves, because candidates want authenticity. They want to really know what it's like to work for you. And if all you're doing is pushing out content that tells them how great you are, well, everyone, so many companies are doing that's just white noise to them. But it's hard to be brave and to admit you're challenging parts of your business and what you want to improve. But I think that's what cuts through with candidates. I think candidates are looking for that, or the good ones are. They want businesses that are upfront and honest about who they are and what they're going to find there. I think a lot of companies, you know, they paint a picture like the family portrait where everyone's smiling, everyone's happy, and it's not like that. Families aren't like that. It's about giving them an authentic picture of who you are and hoping that they buy into that and they want to be part of that.
And admitting failures, I think, is... I just love that. I just think it's the biggest thing, because we all fail. And also, I think it just encourages people to try new things and push themselves, because if you play it safe, you're never going to fail, right? You know, you're never going to fail if you just kind of play it safe. But that's not what you need from someone. Everyone's going to fail at some time on a project or whatever it may be, on a hire in some instances, you know. You just have, but if you're willing to fail and you're more comfortable with failure, that only comes from the exec people. If you feel like, oh, if I do this wrong, like I'm in trouble, you know, like then people aren't motivated to be creative and kind of forward thinking. So it kind of, it affects everything. It's so, so important.
It is. And if you look at the biggest progressive businesses, you know, the Googles and companies like Spotify, they all preach that. They want you to fail, but they want you to learn from it and learn fast. But you've got to have that culture now. And I think candidates demand that culture of learning and developing and being and having the flexibility to get things wrong so that then down the line they can get things right.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And is that something that you think it's important to kind of explain to candidates as well?
Yeah, when you look at their values and the type of character they are, you want people that are going to go out there and try things. I mean, as a business, you know, one of our blessings and curses of our business is that we do things really quickly, and a lot of them work, and they work great.
What is it that gives you, I suppose, the best sense of satisfaction from the work now, and has that changed over time?
I think it has. I mean, working in-house has given me a great deal of satisfaction, more than I thought. You know, you're bringing people into a business and you're seeing them build a product and you're seeing it very quickly being built and put out there into the market and having a reaction. So, yeah, I think talent acquisition within businesses used to be a niche function within HR. I think companies now are just recognizing, especially with how there is a war for tech talent, just how important and vital talent acquisition is to businesses, and that there's nothing more important than the people that you're bringing into your business. The talent that you bring in will dictate absolutely everything. So talent within our business is high profile. It's genuinely recognized. So there's a big investment in that. So, yeah, I feel a real affinity with the business that I work for. And I definitely feel that it embraces talent acquisition and realizes the importance of it. And I think that's important, because if you work for a business where it's just another function and, you know what, just go fill your roles and you're not going to have that feeling. But when they really recognize the value of bringing in someone who is A-star talent or missing that and getting someone who's 20% not as good, there's a value to that. You know, there's a real value to the business.
Awesome, mate. Simon, we'll leave it there, mate. I don't want to keep you much longer, but thanks so much for taking the time, mate.
Thanks for listening to Venturi's Voice. Please make sure you subscribe at iTunes or SoundCloud, or check out the website, venturi-group.com, and keep up to date with the latest IT jobs, talent, news, and podcasts. Or drop me a line. It's andy.davis@venturi-group.com. Any feedback, topics, or guest suggestions are always welcome. And thanks again for listening to the show. See you next time.